In the Warren County Radio Bible School today, we're looking at a Sunday school lesson about a Christian, a follower of Jesus. That's what a Christian is. And we're going to be looking at the lesson text from Mark chapter 2, verses 13 through 17. Let me read that to you. It says, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitudes resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the place of toll. And he said to them, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that he was sitting at meat in his house, and many publicans and sinners sat down with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And the scribes of the Pharisees, when they saw that he was sitting with the sinners and publicans, said to his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? And when Jesus heard it, he said unto them, They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." We're going to be looking at Elam's notes on this in a Sunday school lesson he prepared for the Sunday schools of January the 2nd, 1927. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. In the lesson text that we read, when Jesus was enjoying this feast in the house of Matthew, the scribes and Pharisees were there. They were not guests at this feast, but they saw Jesus and his disciples there, or knew they were there. They were on the watch. In their sight, it was wrong for religious teachers to mix with publicans and sinners, and hence it was a great shock to their sense of propriety for Jesus to eat with such. By them, these publicans and sinners were classed with heathens and even other apostles, though Peter thought Peter did wrong to eat with the Gentile in Acts 11 and verse 3. They criticized Jesus to his disciples because he ate with publicans and sinners, putting himself on social equality with them. This was a taunt thrown in the face of the disciples. Scribes and Pharisees were just as great as sinners, if not greater, but in another way. They rejected the commandment of God that they might keep their traditions, Mark 7:7-9, and rejected Christ, while publicans and harlots went into the kingdom of heaven before them, Matthew 21:31-32. No greater sins can be committed than Jesus charges them with in Matthew 23, where he says, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." Well, Jesus replied. He heard this, either through his disciples who went with him, or who went to him with it, or if not able perhaps to reply themselves, or he overheard the scribes and Pharisees when they asked the question, and he said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." The physically well man does not need the physician. The spiritually whole, the righteous, do not need to repent. Granting that these scribes and Pharisees were all they claimed for themselves, thinking themselves to be spiritually whole and strong and healthy morally, then they wouldn't have needed a physician. But from their own standpoint, these poor publicans and sinners were in great need of relief and repentance. Jesus is the great physician of the soul. He went to the sin sick, to those who felt their need of healing. These self-righteous Pharisees did not realize their own sinful condition and hence felt no need for Christ. There is much more hope for sinners, however deep in sin they may be, who realize their unworthiness of Jesus and their lost condition without Him, than for the self-righteous. One must be humble, meek, and of a broken heart, and of a contrite spirit to be saved. Psalm 34 and verse 18. Matthew gives another reply still to this taunt. But go ye, and learn what this meaneth. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. The sacrifices which God required when offered in submission to Him were always pleasing to Him. But even these sacrifices, without mercy to men, were not enough and were not acceptable. Any sacrifice which God did not require was not acceptable. This was a direct condemnation of these self-righteous and unmerciful Pharisees. We need to study this lesson more ourselves. There is much need of mercy yet. Are you merciful? Does mercifulness describe us? The more we see of human weakness, frailty, and imperfection, the more we realize the great need of mercy. Remember how Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." And so we read in John chapter 17, First John chapter 2 and verse 6, "He that saith he abideth in him ought to walk, even as he walked." Our salvation depends on our walking, even as Jesus walked. Jesus said, "And this is life eternal, that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ," John 17 in verse 3. Beginning with the third verse of 2 John, we're told how we may know Christ. "Hereby we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." On the other hand, whoever claims to know Christ and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Nothing can be plainer and more pointed than this. We read all again, "But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily hath the love of God been perfected." And again, this is the love of God, our love for him, if we keep his commandments. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 3. "And hereby we know that we're in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. Whoso goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son." 2 John and verse 9. It says to walk, even as he walked. How did Christ walk? Well, Jesus walked in the light. And 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 10 says, "If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin." He did always the things which were pleasing to the Father, John 8, 29. He pleased not himself, Romans 15, 3. It would prove a valuable lesson indeed to note and to practice the many passages of Scripture which teach Christians how to walk. There is no becoming a Christian or living the Christian life without denying oneself, enduring persecution, and bearing the cross and following Christ. Now, at the end of this old Sunday school lesson, there's a little extra here on taxes. You see, Matthew was a tax collector. So let's see what we read about taxes here. The Romans taxed almost everything: fish, trees, houses, doors, columns, and all property, real and personal, and the publicans, for the convenience of the collection, had erected custom houses at the approach of bridges, the terminations of roads, and in harbors. All human governments take this course, and the burden of taxation grows heavier and heavier. Public roads to Jerusalem, Tyre, Sidon, and the east centered at Capernaum. On the merchandise passing along these roads and on the fish and trade of the lake, certain customs were due and must be collected. Levi, Matthew, was in Capernaum. Now, let me explain the publicans. Originally and properly, publicans were usually rich Roman knights who collected for the taxes, both the direct taxes and the customs of provinces, for the payment of a certain sum into the Roman treasury. When these taxes surpassed the financial ability of one man, a joint stock company was formed with one man as the general manager who looked after the business and paid over the profits to the stockholders. The system was, however, a vicious one. The publicans were banded together to support each other's interest and at once resented and defied all interference. They demanded severe laws and put every such law into execution. These Roman knights, or the managing director of the stock company, did not gather the taxes themselves, but the provinces were divided up into districts, and these districts were sublet to some inhabitants, usually of the country, who, acquainted with its resources and the temper of the people. These sub-agents, or underlings, are the publicans of the New Testament. Matthew and Zacchaeus were of this class. Zacchaeus was a chief publican, Luke 19 in verse 2, and he was rich. These sub-agents, or publicans, had every opportunity to extort from the people more than was their due. They were encouraged in exhortation and fraud by those who had them engaged. An exorbitant fund fixed by law was required of them by their superiors, and they depended largely on extortion and fraud for their profits. They were allowed to fix more or less arbitrarily the value of all exports and imports and demand payment. If there should be any property in dispute, they seized it and held it until the taxes were paid. They would forbid a farmer to gather his standing crop until they extorted from him all that was possible. They would sometimes make false accusations of smuggling goods and require the accused to pay so much hush money. Therefore, John the Baptist exhorted them, saying, "Extort no more than that which is appointed you." Luke 13:13. And Zacchaeus said, "If I have wrongfully exacted aught of any man, I restore fourfold." We can see now why the publicans were despised in every province throughout the Roman Empire. For a native to be an agent or a tool in the hand of some foreign capitalist or rich stock company to extort unwilling taxes, and frequently by fraud and false accusation, more than already burdensome laws required, from his fellow countrymen, was quite enough to incur the hatred and contempt of patriotic citizens. This was especially so among the Jews. They regarded their subjugation by the Romans and the payment of tribute to them as national degradation, and the payment of such tribute dishonoring to God. Hence the question, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? For this reason, the publicans among the Jews were not only odious as tax gatherers, but were considered traitors to their nation and apostates from the religion of their God. They were classed with sinners, harlots, and heathens in public estimation. They were not all necessarily dishonest and corrupt. John and Jesus found many ready to obey the truth and do right. The scriptures show John and Christ's attitude toward them, And from this class, finding one worthy, Jesus chose Matthew, an apostle.